From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen. This week, we're calling the show Dissent, Free Speech, and the NFL. Football and the national anthem have been trending topics on social media for the past number of days. President Trump scolded the National Football League and players on Twitter this weekend, and his tweets led to a series of protests from teams in the NFL. Some players kneeled, some locked arms, others didn't even leave the locker room. This form of protest has gotten plenty of backlash and support alike. Trump spoke at a rally over the weekend, or actually on Friday evening, a rally in support of a Senate primary candidate in Alabama.
I and everyone in this arena tonight are unified by the same great American values. We're proud of our country. We respect our flag. Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired.
So what? What do you think of the controversy that has been raised by the comments of the President of the United States in very blunt language? We're interested in hearing from you during this hour. We have one guest in the studio, but we have some other guests joining us by a recorded interview during today's program. But we are very pleased to welcome Professor Ginny Whitehouse. Ginny is professor in the newly forming multimedia news program at Eastern Kentucky University. She researches media ethics, particularly concerning privacy and social media. She is the cases and commentaries editor for the Journal of Media Ethics and serves on the journal's editorial board. She's been published in the Mass Media and Ethics Handbook and the Journal of Mass Media Ethics, and she joins us on this week's Eastern Standard. Ginny, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Glad to meet you in person for the first time, although I know your reputation and the students speak so highly of you. Thank you for being with us to engage in this conversation and to help us through this. We're going to focus on listeners and ask listeners to react to what they have heard, what's been going on. Whether you're a football fan or not, we're interested in hearing from you. Send your questions or comments to WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST, post on Facebook, or call and make note of this number. If you call the toll-free number, you'll be calling to support WEKU during the fund drive. But we're going to ask you to call 859-622-1664. That's 622-1664. That gets you into the rollover set of lines for Eastern Standard during this special fundraising edition of Eastern Standard. So, Ginny Whitehouse is a professor of media ethics. Obviously, there are a number of issues raised in all of this discussion. What are your primary concerns or your primary interests in all of this?
Well, I've got a couple of different concerns. The biggest one right now is not whether the players should be kneeling or not. I think that is an ethical issue related to their free speech rights. My biggest concern is, what do the president's tweets do and his comments in public do to chill free speech? Because we as Americans enjoy the right to protest and to demonstrate. When this all started last Saturday, when Stephen Curry said he was not wanting to come to the White House, and over the next 3 days, the president tweeted about this issue 21 times. And that it raises serious questions about what might be happening to how we understand the right to protest in this country.
It raises a question also, obviously, of how we communicate as a nation. And, of course, the Trump presidency has changed our view of so many of these things. Presidents used to go to the podium and speak to the media pool gathered there in the White House press room, or speak it from the Rose Garden or in other more formal settings, or issue news releases or statements through their media representative. But this president is speaking directly to the American people.
And certainly that is his right. The question is, how does he speak to the American people? And is he shutting people down? First and foremost, I think we have to address the question of, is taking a knee disrespect? In sports, taking a knee usually has reference to a sign of respect for an injured player. And you could extend that metaphor saying that the players are concerned about the injuries that African Americans have received in this country. So to have a very powerful white man, perhaps the not perhaps one of the most powerful men in the world, stand up and call someone by a really despicable name for exercising a free speech right, that's not necessarily the ethical approach that we want our national leaders taking.
We're interested in hearing from listeners during this week's Eastern Standard. Again, we're calling the show Dissent, Free Speech, and the NFL. And we're interested in what you have been thinking about this issue over the last number of days. Have you been thinking about it? Have you been ignoring it? Have you been trying to get away from this news? Please feel free to get involved in our conversation. Professor Jenny Whitehouse of EKU's program, the multimedia news program, is with us in the studio. We're going to hear from NBC sports caster Tom Hammond, a Kentucky Lexington native. We're going to hear from columnist Tom Eblen. Maybe some of you read his column in the Herald Leader or online at Kentucky.com on Monday. If you hadn't, now's a great time to catch up on it. Do your homework, catch up, and you can offer some comments about that. But we're going to talk to both of those people during today's program, and we want to talk to you. Email wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, 800-621-8890. I want to go back to the President of the United States. Earlier this year, actually in March, President Trump took aim at former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick on March Monday in 2017, claiming teams did not want to sign him because of his refusal to stand for the national anthem. Trump veered off script during a campaign-style rally in Louisville and appeared to claim credit for the player's free agent status.
There was an article today, it was reported, that NFL owners don't want to pick him up because they don't want to get a nasty tweet from Donald Trump. Do you believe that? I said, if I remember that one, I'm going to report it to the people of Kentucky, because they like it when people actually stand for the American flag, right?
And that is our question for you. What do you think about standing for the American flag, standing for the national anthem, and does this whole protest by the players now, some managers and team owners, does this disrespect America? Does it disrespect our flag? Does it disrespect our national anthem and the values that our country stands for? That's the question we're posing for you during today's Eastern Standard. So Jenny Whitehouse with us in the studio. Is the football stadium, in your viewpoint, an appropriate place for protests, for demonstrations of this type?
Well, I think the question is, who's doing the protesting? In this case, it's football players. And football players standing together before a game is about the biggest arena they have their message. To say that, oh, you can have your political views outside the stadium, well, that raises other questions too. Why should we shut someone down when they would be the most, where they would be the most effective? And again, this is a silent protest. It is something about their perceptions. Also, it's important to note that it was Jerry Jones and the Cowboys this last week who took a knee before the national anthem, locked arms, and really made a statement in and of itself. So even Jerry Jones is recognizing that players have strong feelings about this. And I think the disrespect we have to ask is, who is being disrespected? Again, taking a knee in any circumstance that I know of is a sign of respect. It's something that you do in church before God. It is something that you do in a variety of different arenas. So to suggest that it is all negative, I think, is incorrect. Most important, this is about race, and this is one of the challenges, and particularly in the president's approach to this, has not been why are people protesting, but that people are protesting. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have a racial problem in this country.
I'm curious as to why, if it's not a sign of disrespect or somehow a dissing America, the kneeling or raising a fist in the air, which I didn't some player do that? I know it's been done during the Olympics. Why is that not seen as disrespect when the normal procedure for respect for the flag and for the national anthem is to stand with your right hand over your heart to pledge allegiance to the flag, essentially?
Well, Colin Kaepernick addressed this very point. He was the former San Francisco 49ers player who kind of started the whole thing last year. And, of course, he's still not been signed. He talked with a fellow player. He had originally started out sitting. And a fellow player who was a veteran suggested that taking a knee would be a sign of respect and it would be an appropriate gesture. Now, raising a fist, that's a different sort of thing. But again, do players have the right to say, we have a problem in this country and I'm letting you know I feel strongly about it? Absolutely. They're not screaming out during the national anthem. They are saying this country needs to take what we are worried about as Americans more seriously.
Our program is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations, and on this Thursday morning, we are live. The show repeats on Sunday evening, so if you tune in on Sunday evening, you've missed your opportunity to be part of it. But on this Thursday morning, we encourage you to be part of the show by giving us a call at 859-622-1664. A special number, one that we don't normally use except during fundraising because the toll-free number is in use for fundraising. 859-622-1664. If you'd like to be part of this week's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations, send us an email, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com, and then the Twitter account is WEKUEST. We will be right back. Professor Jenny Whitehouse is with us in the studio. We're going to hear from NBC sports caster Tom Eblen. Well, let me get our Toms correct. This will be Tom Hammond when we come back in the next segment of the show. Then we will hear from Tom Eblen of the Lexington Herald Leader as Eastern Standard continues on WEKU. Dissent, free speech, and the NFL, our topic on this week's Eastern Standard at the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen, and in the studio with me is Jenny Whitehouse. She's a professor in the multimedia news program at Eastern Kentucky University. And we have a couple of other guests. We reached out to Tom Hammond. Some of you who are sports fans may know of Tom, and especially from the Lexington area, a native of Lexington, and long working with NBC Sports. I met him a couple of years ago through the Kentucky Broadcasters Association when he was given an award for his work over the years. And Tom would have loved to have been on the show with us live this morning, but he's apparently in the air this morning. Not on the air, but actually in the air. And he's, of course, been involved in all kinds of sports activity. Considers himself semi-retired, although he's still quite busy. And I spoke with him earlier this week about this whole situation regarding President Trump and his comments about NFL players and teams taking the knee during the national anthem.
You know, I think he threw red meat to his backers is basically what he was doing with that statement. It was one of several statements he made that sort of got the crowd behind him and sort of the same kind of thing he had during his campaign for president, and that just giving some red meat to his supporters for them to jump on, and it worked, of course, because they were solidly behind him with their support that night. But what it did was ignite, in my opinion, a wonderful expression of the First Amendment by all these other teams, showing solidarity and a peaceful expression of the First Amendment. So I think it's resulted in a really wonderful thing.
How do you feel the sports world is reacting in general? I mean, certainly, it sounds like if fans are upset in some situations, many fans booed the players who were kneeling during games over the weekend. Do you think the NFL or the team owners are going to be concerned about the reaction of fans?
Well, I think the team owners are always concerned about the bottom line, and they wouldn't want a boycott or something like that. But I think that what it has done is has shown that in this country, you can have an opinion. It can be for the players, it could be against the players, whatever. But as long as it's a peaceful expression of your opinion, that's what the First Amendment guarantees us. And I happen to think that I sympathize with the players, as I've noted to some friends, that you know, team sports is one of the great platforms for expressing these views. And team sports is something that teaches a tolerance and the respect for other people's opinions. If you consider a team, it's made up of different elements from every socioeconomic background, different races, different religions, different beliefs, but you're all on this team striving together and going for a common goal, and you depend on each other. If a lineman doesn't make his block, the back's not going to gain any yardage, and so it's a team of interdependencies, and so you learn to tolerate the opinions of others. That's what team sports does. That's one of the great values, I think, of team sports, is it teaches you that sort of tolerance. And so for them to come out and express their views, and they are differing views even among the players, I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It shows that in this country, in our democracy, you can have an opinion and can express it publicly.
What do you think about mixing politics into team sports and the NFL? There are those who say they expect to be able to enjoy their weekend or Monday night football politics-free, and this is injecting something they don't want to have in that situation, in that experience.
We would prefer, in an ideal world, not to have our politics and our sports mixed up, but that's never going to happen, never has happened. And especially with President Trump, who every day is in the news with some other sort of statement or tweet or something else, that he's always going to be in the news and people are going to react to it. But, you know, we thought a long time ago that the purest expression of sport was the Olympics. And, of course, the politics have always been part of the Olympics. And, the world has intruded upon the pure sport of the Olympics for decades now. So I've done 13 Olympics, or will do 13 in the first of the year. I've done 12 and will do 13. And, I've seen the politics play a big part in it. Well, we would prefer to see who can run the fastest and jump the highest and all that. Actually, there's lots of politics involved, and the politics even lead into cheating on the behalf of some countries, even countrywide cheating that's sponsored by those countries. So politics has always been a part of sports, even though we probably prefer it would not be.
The president called for firing of players who would, in his opinion, disrespect the American flag. How do you feel about that? Are team owners, would they be able, are they free to make that decision to punish a player by firing them or otherwise suspending them or issuing some kind of reprimand for actions that they might disagree with?
I suppose they would be free to do that, but they would be extremely narrow-minded, I think. But if you look at the reality of the situation, Colin Kaepernick, who started it all last year, has not found a team. Nobody would hire him. Some think he's been blacklisted. The owners deny it, but who knows? So I think it would be extremely narrow-minded. And one of the really gratifying things I think has come from all this is that the owners have shown solidarity with the players. Even some owners and players who were Trump supporters have come out and saying that was wrong, that statement was bad, and you've got to be a little more tolerant and understand the feelings and the beliefs of others.
What do you think is going to be the result of all of this discussion and all of this controversy?
Well, I don't know what the final result is going to be, but I think hopefully it will result in a tolerant attitude on behalf of fans and the players, and we say, look, this is just our opinion. We're expressing our opinion. It's our right to do so, and you have to respect that right. It's interesting that the national anthem has become such a great symbol. It didn't used to be. In fact, I think it started in World War I at sports events when Woodrow Wilson wanted it played to drum up recruits for the U.S. entry into World War I. And it's the national anthem is a symbol, a powerful symbol to others, and some it's not such a powerful symbol. I can remember some of the times that they have some of these singers that sing the national anthem, and it's they stylize it so much that it's not really an emotional or a patriotic sort of thing. When you have a marching band, like I did the Notre Dame games for 20 years, and when you have the Notre Dame marching band, which I consider the best in the country, to play the national anthem before the game starts, it is inspiring and patriotic, and you feel like you want to go out and tackle somebody. But normally the way they sing it now, it's not that inspiring. And At the Olympics, I show respect. I stand every time the U.S. national anthem is played, but I also stand for other countries' national anthems just as a show of respect. But sometimes if I'm working and unable to stand, I don't consider it disrespectful, and I hope no one else does either. It's a symbol. Some take it really seriously, some don't. But I think that it's up to each individual to decide how important it is to him, and it's up to each individual to decide how he feels about this issue of protesting during the national anthem.
Lexington native and semi-retired NBC sportscaster Tom Hammond, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure, and I hope that hope there are some interesting comments that come out of this, John. Thank you very much for having me.
We are hoping to have interesting comments from our listeners at 800-6... Well, that's not the toll-free number. Let's make that 859-622-1664. That's 859-622-1664. We're very grateful to Tom Hammond for being part of our Eastern Standard program, despite the fact that he is traveling and in the air at the moment. We have a caller waiting on the line, and Jacob, hang in there. We're going to get to you in just a few moments. We really appreciate your patience, but I want to return to our guest in the studio, Professor Ginny Whitehouse, who is in the newly forming multimedia news program at EKU. Your reactions to what you're hearing from Tom Hammond? Personally, I'm not supposed to express opinions, but I felt that he had some very wise thoughts and wise comments on what he had to say.
Well, I think it's important that he noted that tolerance is something that needs to be taught, and that players who frequently get criticized for not being good role models can act in a way where they teach tolerance of each other. Alejandro Villanova said that he had not intended to imply he disagreed with his fellow players' right to protest. So I think the idea of teaching tolerance is important.
Let's go to the phone and talk to Jacob from Lexington. If you're still on the line, Jacob, we're grateful for you hanging on there. Are you there?
I am.
Go right ahead with your comments. Thank you for calling.
I find it quite concerning that you think the First Amendment applies to people in the workplace. Because if I was to say something disrespectful in the workplace that goes against the code of conduct, which is the NFL has this, where you have to stand with your helmet in your left hand and your hand over your heart. It's one of their rules. If I went against a rule at work, I could be fired, and I should be fired, just like these NFL players.
Interesting.
And that's the way I feel about it.
I mean, interesting point, Jacob. Personally, having worked for government agencies, working for a university, some of us in certain positions are not free to speak out. As a journalist, broadcasters, journalists who are involved in news shouldn't be, if they're ethical, shouldn't be expressing political opinions. So, Ginny, what do you think about that issue? And sometimes in the workplace, we're restricted in what we're able to say.
Sometimes we are restricted in what we want to say. I think that to assume, though, that players should be fired for not engaging in particular behavior that is, some people are saying, is disrespectful, I think it's problematic, because isn't it, it comes down to interpreting what we call respect. We have had players do all sorts of unfortunate and unspeakable things, some of them disciplined, some of them in a less a way that has been highly considered controversial. So I hear what the caller is saying, and thank you for that, Jacob, that I think we do need to ask the question of whether or not the First Amendment applies to football. And I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say the First Amendment does apply, that if I am in a workplace where I feel like I cannot express an opinion about something that is happening in my life and in the lives of others, then I'm at a loss on where I'm supposed to do that.
Well, in the NFL, if you wear the wrong color, if you show up to practice late, if you're not wearing the proper shoes, they fine you for breaking their rules. And they should do something like that, if not fire these players.
Jacob, I will point out, though, that in this incident, this situation over the weekend, team owners, managers have stepped forward expressing solidarity with players in this situation. I mean, in that situation, don't you agree that the managers and owners, if they agree with what the players are saying, they all obviously have a right to go ahead and speak that way?
Well, I think the main reason why they're showing solidarity with the players is they're concerned politically what would happen. But now you've got this backlash, so they're also concerned about that portion of it too. So I don't really know what the NFL commissioner or any of the people that own the teams are going to do. I mean, honestly, I don't really understand what they're going to do.
Jacob, we're very grateful for your call, for being part of our show. We're going to move on. 859-622-1664 is the number that listeners are invited and welcome to call on this Thursday morning to be part of our Eastern Standard. 859-622-1664. You're certainly welcome to use the toll-free number to support the station. But if you want to be part of the show and discuss this issue of dissent, free speech, and the NFL with us, please call 859-622-1664 or send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Professor Ginny Whitehouse with us in the studio. To what extent do you think this is about race? I mean, isn't the original demonstration, Kaepernick's protest, was about mistreatment of minorities in this country? Not about, it wasn't about football, right? It was overall a concern about minorities being shot by police officers, minorities being taken advantage of, and other issues of essential discrimination. Is this reaction right now about race, and those who think the players shouldn't be doing this, are they racists? Are those who support the players folks who are, you know, on the other side and working to overcome racism and promote tolerance?
Nobody likes to be called a racist. And I think the people who are saying, oh, this is just about showing respect for the flag, are going to take offense that this is all about race. But in reality, this is all about race. And the original choice that the players were making back to Kaepernick a year ago, this is about race in America and how we have a discussion about it. And the fact that players feel like this is the best way they can peacefully protest is important to note. So where do we have a conversation about race in America, if it is not surrounding the national anthem and if it is not surrounding the flag? We as Americans do need to come together and say, are we treating everyone the same? Because we have a number of people who are saying the contrary. So going down on one knee and say we have a broken country right now is recognizing the reality in the country.
Some folks like to make the connection, and I understand why, between football players taking this stand and other performers, other folks in the public eye, actors, singers, performers taking a stand politically on issues. We're talking about people making millions of dollars, these football players, multi-million dollar contracts for playing a game, which many, many children would aspire to do with their lives, or some of these performers, actors, and singers who make a lot of money performing. But they have a soapbox that's very high and more visible than what the rest of us can do. Do they have a special responsibility in terms of their speaking out, and should they be more cautious in expressing their view and opinion on matters like this than you or I have to be?
I think everyone should be cautious in expressing their opinion. I think everyone should work towards being as civil as they can, and to work towards having an intelligent conversation. I'm having a hard time finding this uncivil from the player's point of view. I'm having a very easy time finding it uncivil from the president's point of view. So we come back to the leader of the free world cussing out people for expressing their rights. Who's making the money here, and how is that money being used? I've heard people specifically refer to Susan Sarandon and say that her viewpoints end up being a good actress whose career got knocked off course because she ended up focusing more on issues outside of her acting career. That's problematic. Where do we want our players? Where do we want our people to come in and have a conversation? Why not at the national anthem?
Those of us of a certain age will remember Jane Fonda and her protests against the Vietnam War. Hanoi Jane, she was called by some. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. We're taking another short break, and we'll be back as we discuss this topic of dissent, free speech, and the NFL. 859-622-1664. That's 859-622-1664 to be part of the show. It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen with Ginny Whitehouse, professor in the multimedia news program at Eastern Kentucky University. Dissent, free speech, and the NFL, our topic on this week's Eastern Standard program. And Ginny, you said you had a couple of other comments you wanted to make. We heard from Tom Hammond, NBC sportscaster. We're going to hear from Tom Eblin, columnist for the Lexington Herald Leader, in just a few moments. But any further comments you want to offer before we get to Tom Eblin?
President Trump had said that the whole taking a knee controversy had led to poor ratings in the NFL. NFL ratings are down with all sorts of other sports, including NASCAR and the NBA. Fans have changed the way they watch sports. But there's another issue that we also have to consider in why there may be less or fewer fans watching, and that has to do with the overwhelming evidence that players are suffering severe brain injuries. There have been a number of polls before the current controversy that showed that 3/4 of the fan base said player injuries posed major problems for the NFL. So I think we need to think about how we have an intelligent conversation again in the country and make sure that our facts are right before we start claiming cause and effect. I think accuracy is an important part of any discussion.
We want to get to our listeners. You're welcome to join our conversation, 859-622-1664. And I believe that we have Philip on the line from Lexington. Philip, we're going to ask you to be patient with us because we need to get to Tom Eblin of the Lexington Herald Leader. Perhaps those of you who read the paper or read Kentucky.com online are familiar with Tom's writing. He's an opinion columnist for the Herald Leader, and I spoke with him earlier this week about this entire issue. Let me read the first few lines of your commentary, Tom, and have you pick it up from there. Tom wrote, "I respect the right of National Football League players to protest racism, police shootings, or whatever issues they feel strongly about by kneeling during the national anthem at ball games. I applaud the NFL players and owners who knelt and locked arms Sunday to protest the profane and pathetic comments of a president who seems to have no clue what American patriotism is really about. But this is what I struggle with. How do people who understand patriotism and American values take back the national anthem, the American flag, and other national symbols from jingoistic bullies who do not?" Tom Eblin, pick it up from there. Tell us where you went in this opinion piece that you wrote for Monday's paper.
Well, this is an issue that had been bothering me for a long time. I think Trump's comments, first of all, if you kind of look at them in context, I think he was it was kind of a typical distraction from other issues. His health care repeal was falling apart and other things. But it kind of, to me, kind of summed up a lot of the things that Trump's been doing, which is kind of looking for wedge issues to divide people. But as I said, I'd been bothered for a long time by kind of this, idea that among many conservatives that, you know, only they are patriotic and that, you know, and I think, you know, too often people who don't agree with that, just don't embrace the flag and embrace the anthem the way they should. You know, these are symbols of American freedom. And unfortunately, a lot of people, including Trump, have tried to, you know, almost treat them as idols to be worshipped rather than symbols of freedom, which includes freedom of speech and freedom to protest.
Ultimately, the suggestion that you make in your opinion piece is that those who disagree with Trump and those who are concerned about these demonstrations should be more patriotic than anybody else. I mean, stand for the national anthem, sing the national anthem at the ball games, and fly a flag at your home. Is that what you're saying?
Well, or either one. I mean, if you think like some of the NFL players do that a protest is appropriate, that's fine. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that. You know, people should not be afraid to display these symbols because what they really you know, symbolize are our freedoms and not what some president or some politician or, you know, some ideology wants to adopt them. I think that's kind of the danger too often is that liberals and moderates kind of cede that patriotic ground to conservatives and people who really support things that are not American values.
I mean, at its core, this discussion is really about the First Amendment, as I see it. And as a journalist, I assume that is important to you, that is one of the reasons that spurs you to speak out.
Yeah, and you know, frankly, the First Amendment is under a lot of assault. I mean, just yesterday, Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, went to Georgetown Law School to talk about the importance of free speech on campus. Yet if you read the reports, you know, it was a very select audience. A lot of people who would disagree with him were disinvited, and what he got was a really friendly audience. So he makes his comments, and then he turns around and defends Trump on the NFL. I mean, it's kind of a typical thing that you know, frankly, you see on all sides, is that, well, free speech is fine as long as it's my speech. If it's your speech, I don't want to hear it. And I think it's important for journalists and citizens, you know, to stand up for everyone's right to speak and everyone's right to express their opinion, especially on divisive issues such as race and politics and economic futures and things like that.
Do you see race as being at the core of this discussion?
I think it's a lot of it. I think, you know, there are, you know, America has always had a problem with race. I mean, it is America's original sin, from slavery, from Jim Crow, and we still have a lot of work to do. I think in many ways Trump has aggravated a lot of these wounds because he wants to play to a base that frankly includes a lot of racists. I'm not saying that all Trump supporters are racist, but, you know, a lot of them, you know, there is a significant number that are, and he seems unwilling to speak out against racism in any believable way.
This discussion has in some sectors gone into a discussion of the demonstrations being offensive to American values, offensive to our national anthem, disrespecting our flag, or disrespecting our military personnel or veterans. Do you see that connection, that those in the military, for instance, might be offended by these demonstrations?
You know, I think that's pure hogwash. I thought it was very interesting that Pat Tillman, the former NFL quarterback who was killed in Iraq or Afghanistan, I can't remember now which one, his widow came out basically and criticized Trump's stand. You know, that's exactly what, what American military was fighting for, was for people's right to speak up, for people's right to protest. And, you know, that's really important. This is really a good moment in history, I think, for Americans to get some civic lessons that they don't seem to get in school anymore, or they don't seem to understand.
What about this issue of sports and politics? Some folks will say, and I believe I heard that numerous times, especially over the weekend, I turned on the football game on Sunday or Monday evening to get away from politics, to get away from some of the negative aspects of living in today's society. But now we have politics being interjected into sports.
Well, you know, the same argument's made with entertainers, you know, people who don't like it when actors or celebrities have political opinions, people like George Clooney. You know, again, I just think that's nonsense. You know, unfortunately, the world we live in today is very complicated. There are a lot of tough issues, and they, you know, cut across all aspects of society. So saying that sports figures or entertainers shouldn't have political opinions is no more sensible than saying business executives or lawyers or anyone else should not have political opinions. I mean, that's part of our right as Americans to speak up, and people, you know, have a right to use the platform that they happen to inhabit.
Tom Ebelin, columnist for the Lexington Herald Leader. I would recommend you check out his opinion piece on Kentucky.com. You'll find that online from Monday, September the 25th. And we're grateful to Tom for being part of our conversation. Ginny Whitehouse of the Eastern Kentucky University Multimedia News Program is with us in the studio. We have callers on the line. We have a number of emails coming in. Ginny, got any very quick reaction to Tom before we get to our caller on the line?
I think he's reflecting the consistent theme that we see here amongst a range of people, literally everyone from Jerry Jones to folks on the other end of the spectrum, saying people have the right to share their opinions. And again, this does come back to race.
Speaking of sharing opinions, let's talk to Philip from Lexington. Hope you're still on the line there, Philip. Thanks for calling. You are on the air now.
I am. Thank you for taking my call.
Gladly.
I'm a 10th Mountain Division Army veteran. I find it President Trump's outrage utterly baffling. As a man who, in 2015, while campaigning, called John McCain, what was it, a loser? Or he likes winners, people who aren't captured. What kind of respect is that for veterans? Yet now that it's convenient and some would say distracting over everything going on in Puerto Rico, North Korea, everywhere else, he's, you know, rah, 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 America flag, and blaming football players for respectfully kneeling. I mean, they're not screaming. They're not burning anything down. They're not blowing stuff up. They're kneeling. People kneel in front of the cross, in front of an altar, a church, all this stuff. Respectful, caring statement of an opinion. Yet he's trying to blow things up. And it just blows my mind that people are so outraged in taking the side of a man who disrespected someone captured defending America in Vietnam. I don't understand.
Philip, thank you for that comment. And actually, I'm going to move on to an email from a listener. This came from Seth, who wrote, "What is more disrespectful to our country, telling a Silver Star recipient and a man who spent 5.5 years as a prisoner of war that he is not a hero because he was captured or taking a knee during the anthem?" And he says, second, you mentioned that people want to keep politics out of sports. Well, I would like to keep politics out of getting a marriage license, but a certain Rowan County clerk would not allow that. Well, we don't want to go into that issue, but thank you, Seth, for that comment. And again, thank you, Philip, for your call to this week's Eastern Standard. We're going to get to another caller on the line in just a few moments. That will be Todd from Irvine. We hope you can hold on here. Let me quickly, let's get to this comment. This comes from Joey from Richmond. Kneel or stand during the national anthem. It's thankfully the right of every citizen of the U.S. With that said, adults coaching young children in youth football to turn their back to the flag and posting online video of this behavior feels inappropriate to me. What would your studio guest think of that? And I have no idea what he's talking about, Jenny Whitehouse. Do you know anything about that?
I think there have been some incidents where different people have turned their back on the flag and as a form of protest. And again, that's similar to raising a fist. I think it's a more extreme statement. And I think I would have to know more about the different motivations behind it. But when it comes to expressing an opinion, well, that's one way to do it.
Another emailer writes, employee code of conduct versus freedom of speech. NFL stance different than Google's. I guess there's a controversy about Google employees being able to take an opinion, and they're saying that NFL is more on top of the free speech issue than Google?
Oh, Google has its own series of issues that they have to deal with concerning free expression. Uber has had to deal with this. It's who has the right to speak, and then when does your speech shut down other people? And again, I keep coming back to this. This is not about, it should not be about, do the players have a right to speak, but more about, does the president's tweeting constitute chilling of free speech and free expression?
Back to the telephone, and I hope that Todd has stayed on the line from Irvine. Are you there, Todd?
Yes, sir.
Great. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Okay, I was just going to mention that, you know, talking about, you know, the freedoms that we have. I think I'm a sports fan, and but at the same time, I'm not going to express whether I agree or disagree with the idea of kneeling or protesting, or be about protesting. What I'm saying is that I think it's wonderful that these guys are protesting, and I think that the thing that our kids, we could be teaching our kids. That's the freedoms that we have. You know, these kids, they look at these sports figures. They don't know them personally. They don't really see them. They project their own ideas on who they are and what they are. And I think this is actually helping people understand that, you know, people of other races in this country have different feelings. And the reasons that all this protesting is going on they need to focus more on those reasons instead of just, it's not about the flag. You know, this all started with Kaepernick about, you know, how the police were treating people in this country. And anyway, I think those are the lessons we should be teaching our kids. I don't think that the idea of telling a group of peewee football players just to turn your back on the flag because all the pro players are doing it, I don't think that's the lesson to be learned. I think maybe sitting down and explaining to them the idea behind it, and if those children choose to, you know, make that protest, then that's fine. If not, then that's fine. But I think the lessons that we're teaching our kids about the freedom to protest is the most valuable thing from this.
I love your ideas about talking about this as a teachable moment, an opportunity to really hear and listen. Thank you for that. I think setting up and having a conversation again with the players saying, here's a problem in our country and let's have a conversation about it. Here are other people's perspectives. Let's really listen and hear what they say. Having that kind of conversation increases civility. It increases improving the lives of all Americans.
Let me go back to a couple of emailed comments, because we are just about out of time for this week's discussion on Eastern Standard. This one came from Maddie, writing, I prefer to remain, well, okay, but we didn't use your last name. I'm glad. I think criticizing NFL players for kneeling during the national anthem is not being patriotic or disrespecting the country is red herring. It is a peaceful protest protected under the First Amendment, and the issue is racial injustice. That the president used his platform and power to denigrate those who protest emphasizes the fact that he neither understands the Constitution nor upholds it. And of course, Maddie attached a number of links to Supreme Court cases. We're just not going to be able to go there at this point as we get ready to wrap up our discussion. And this one is from Chris, writing, I was wondering if Dr. Whitehouse could comment on the alleged paid patriotism beginning in 2009 when NFL teams were on the sidelines for the national anthem. What implications has this had on the media, and influence has this had on public perception? Paid patriotism?
I am so sorry that I have no idea what we're talking about on that particular point. I can address a different issue, and that is a matter of distracting, using this particular incident to distract national attention from other situations. In this same time period when the president was doing his tweeting, there were, from Saturday until I believe Tuesday, he tweeted about Puerto Rico 6 times. He tweeted about healthcare 4 times. The amount of emphasis that is being placed here on this particular incident is, we have to call it a distraction from what real issues in the country.
We're going to end right there. Ginny Whitehouse of the Eastern Kentucky University multimedia news program. Thank you so much for being with us, Ginny.
Thank you for this opportunity to talk about race.
Thank you to Tom Eblen. Thank you to Tom Hammond. Thank you to our associate producers, Emily Hutchison, Zach Redding, and Brian Burkhart. We encourage you to tune in for the encore of this program Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. You'll find a podcast online at weku.fm. We're always glad to hear from you. weku Eastern Standard at gmail.com. I'm John Hingsbergen. For WEKU and Eastern Standard, thank you for being with us.